Welcome to the Hoosier Ag Today Thursday podcast and happy 4th of July. I'm Andy Eubank, and the Hath podcast on this 4th of July is brought to you by First Farmers Bank and Trust. Experience banking built on heart, grit, and agriculture. FFBT.com to learn more and stop by your local branch to talk about your ag operation soon. CJ Miller coming up with the news, including a preview of the upcoming Purdue Farm Management Tour and a student's social media approach to focusing on mental health issues on the farm. Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin says rain could mess up some 4th of July gatherings. And yesterday, corn and wheat markets dipped. Soybeans again worked higher. Tom Fritz has commentary on the Hat Thursday podcast.
At First Farmers Bank and Trust, agriculture has been a cornerstone of our business for more than 135 years. Our personal relationships within the ag community run deep for multiple generations. If you're looking for a financial partner that knows, understands, and supports agriculture, we want to hear from you. Let's grow success together. Visit us online at ffbt.com or visit any of our branches to meet an ag expert in your area. First Farmers Bank and Trust. Member FDIC. Equal opportunity lender.
Hey, this is Brian Schrader.
Carl Jorn.
And Ben Jacob.
And we're the hosts of the Indiana Pioneer Agronomy Podcast. Each episode, we cover up-to-date field and crop conditions for growers throughout the state of Indiana. Talk to guests about the latest pests, diseases, agronomic technologies, and much more. You can find new episodes weekly on your preferred podcast platform.
The Purdue Farm Management Tour making its way to Randolph County, and a student from Hancock County bringing awareness to mental health issues facing farmers. I'm CJ Miller, and this is Hoosier Ag Today. Well, the Purdue Farm Management Tour is coming up in less than 2 weeks, and they say that you'll be touring two of Indiana's most innovative farms. Andy Eubank has the details.
The Purdue Center for Commercial Ag Tour is headed to Randolph County July 17th, followed by the annual Master Farmer Awards presentation. Purdue's Jim Mintert says one common theme at both stops on the tour, the Clements Miller Farm and Union Go Dairy, is how to integrate the next generation into the operation.
It's a challenge financially, and it's a challenge managerially. There's no magic formula, and so one of the things we like to highlight on the Farm Management Tour is how different people have managed to work through the challenges that they face and bringing that next generation into the farm operation.
Rex Clements and Wade Miller have worked for about a decade to improve drainage on the farm. Mintert says they'll have a lot to share about their improvements.
So much of Indiana can benefit from improving drainage. And they're going to highlight how they use technology to identify the need for drainage, how they've gone about actually doing it. And in their case, they've actually installed the drainage themselves. They've purchased a self-propelled tile plow and do all the drainage work themselves. So you'll learn a lot about, one, identifying the need for drainage, as well as how they've gone about actually doing it themselves. So I think it'll be a very interesting tour.
Tony and Yvonne Goldstein moved from Europe to start their dairy operation in 2003. Those on the tour will learn a lot about dairy operations, from the challenges to the partnerships.
They'll talk a little bit about the technology they use in their dairy operation. And in particular, they have a strong partnership with Dannon. And they'll talk about how working with Dannon has actually helped them become a better dairy operation so over the years. So you'll learn a little bit about dairy and dairy operations.
The Farm Management Tour and Master Farmer Reception and Panel Discussion are free and open to the public July 17th, but registration is required. There's a website for details and registration. Get that link at HoosierAgToday.com. I'm Andy Eubank.
Well, she may have just graduated from high school, but one young lady from Hancock County is already using her passion for agriculture to bring awareness to the mental health issues facing farmers.
And it truly is something that is important and needs to be talked about, especially in the agriculture industry.
And that's Emily Grant from Charlottesville, who recently graduated from Eastern Hancock High School. She'll be a freshman this fall at Purdue. Emily has created a social media page on Facebook and Instagram called The Whole Farmer. It focuses on the mental, physical, and social well-being of our farmers. She says she was inspired while serving as a member of Indiana FFA.
I wanted to focus on the mental health crisis that is currently happening in the agriculture industry. So I initially started by going to WLC, which is the Washington Leadership Conference. So I went to that and I created a Living to Serve plan. So I came home, created my social media platform.
Emily says she wants farmers to know that they can open up about the stress they're facing by talking about it with someone they trust.
I initially was drawn to this because I do have people in the community that I know, family, friends that are farmers, and really does take a toll on them. And I've seen firsthand what it truly can do. And when you have too many irons in the fire and it's planting season and you have cattle and you have everything else to worry about and your family, it truly does bring a stress on everything you're doing.
Not only will Emily be studying ag communications and animal science at Purdue, but she also says she's interested in connecting with the Purdue Extension Farm Stress Team.
That is definitely something that I am currently looking into, especially with working in the Ag Communications Department. I do want to do something hand in hand while I'm up here.
You can check out Emily's social media sites for The Whole Farmer on Facebook and Instagram. You can also find those links at our website, HoosierAgToday.com. From all of us here at Hoosier Ag Today, have a great and safe 4th of July holiday. I'm CJ Miller, Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's Farm Network.
Every farming operation has a story with a past, present, and future. Farm Credit Mid-America wants to get to know your farm story because we're a lending cooperative owned by farmers. And that's why we offer a range of loans and services designed to help farmers grow and prosper. Because we know why no one knows a farmer like a farmer does. Learn more about Farm Credit Mid-America and some of our farmer stories at fcma.com. Loan subject to credit approval. Additional terms and conditions may apply. Farm Credit Mid-America is an equal opportunity lender.
Farmers and agriculture dealers, now is the time to inspect your combines for holes and wear in your threshing, feeder, and grain tank sections. Instead of costly replacements, try combine wear parts from Eile Fabrications, made with the best steel, such as Hardox or Strengths wear plate. Eile's steel wear part liners are easy to install and built to OEM specs to ensure a snug and seamless fit at a cost less than OEM replacement parts. Visit IHLEFabrications.com and elevate your harvest this season.
The Soil and Water Outcomes Fund is working with growers to implement new conservation practices such as tillage reduction, cover crop implementation, or extended crop rotation. Tyler Rausch is Indiana's field program representative for the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. He says the program will not only reduce erosion and improve your soil health, but you'll also receive monetary compensation for putting these practices into place.
Last year, our average payment was $33 an acre. Nice thing about that is you receive a free estimate before signing the contract with the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund. We need to be looking to implement a new conservation practice. So the key piece is there's something new on your operation.
In 2023, the Soil and Water Outcomes Fund enrolled over 300,000 acres and provided over $10.5 million in payments to farmers. To learn more about how to enroll in their program, check out theoutcomesfund.com.
I'm Chief Meteorologist Ryan Martin with Hoosier Ag Today's Indiana Farm Forecast, and I'm going to tell you straight up, we're going to be dodging showers here on this 4th of July holiday. Probably not the best one that you'd like, but we're going to be needing rain, I'm sure, in about 2 to 3 weeks, so let's not look a gift horse in the mouth. We do have shower and thunderstorm activity trying to roll through the state today and lingering through tomorrow. I think today and tomorrow combined, we have the additional 0.5 to 1.5 inches that can fall with 100% coverage across the Hoosier State. Now, there will be some breaks at times here, so it's not going to be like it's raining constantly, but there will be rain around everywhere. Strong thunderstorms, I think the biggest likelihood for those is going to be tomorrow in west, central, and central parts of the state. Once we get into the weekend, we dry down everywhere, turning out partly sunny, cooler and less humid for Saturday. Temperatures climbing back up a little bit on Sunday. Next week, unsettled. Yep, that's the key word here again. Monday, Tuesday, hit and miss scattered showers and thunderstorms. I think combined Monday, Tuesday, quarter to 1 inch of rain with coverage around 90% of the state. However, by the time we get to Wednesday, slightly less precipitation chances. I think we could escape with only a few hundredths to a tenth or two with only 30% coverage Wednesday. And then Thursday, Friday, Saturday of next week, I'm calling us dry. There's moisture to the south getting near the Gulf Coast area, but nothing farther north. And I'm seeing an upper level ridge starting to emerge in the west. Warmer temperatures headed this way. I think that we start to see drier, hotter weather toward the end of next week. And then that builds into a pattern that is with us through the second half of the month. That's the way your forecast is stacking up. Have a great holiday, a safe holiday today. I'm meteorologist Ryan Martin.
Soybeans again work the high side, grains down. This is Hoosier Ag Today. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Farm Market Review. I'll have settlements momentarily. We begin, though, with market analysis, which I grabbed at the end of trade from Tom Fritz in Chicago. Tom, the soybean picture the same. It is higher once again on Wednesday. Soybean oil, maybe the story there. I'm sure you'll talk about that. Meanwhile, even with a lower dollar index, pressure on the grains, corn and wheat both lower. Some helpful rains are a part of that picture. Let's start, though, with soybeans, the positive note in the whole mix.
Well, soybeans are higher because, thank you very much, soybean oil. Today soybean oil was up 160 points basis, the August contract. But in the last, in the last three days, soybean oil has rallied almost 500 points. It's about the market being way too short. On Friday, the CFTC told us the net short positions in soybean oil were at an all-time high. Okay, now we couple that with demand for soybean oil in the biodiesel feedstock. A lot of folks were saying, well, we've got enough used cooking oil. It offsets the demand for that. But the story is that, we've been importing a fair amount of UCO, as they call it, used cooking oil, from China. Well, okay. The talk is that we're going to impose tariffs on that. And this is even before if the Republican Party takes over in November, or I should say next year, where they've promised 10% tariff increases across the board. But then again, offsetting this idea that we're going to somehow slow down imports of Chinese used cooking oil, it was just 2 weeks ago, I think, maybe 3 weeks ago, that the U.S. inked a deal with Brazil to import their used cooking oil. So I'm not sure what that's all about. But the last USDA monthly crush number showed bean oil stocks less than expected. Well, yeah, of course they're going to be less than expected when the soybeans crushed came in, I want to say, 3.5 million bushels less than expected. So bottom line is 1, 2, 3, cover your shorts. And, since there's no selling above the market, that allows the market to just, scoot higher. And that in turn puts a little bit of pressure on soybean meal. Anybody who trades soybean oil trades soybean meal, vice versa. It's a tremendous, tremendously traded spread. So when bean oil is rocketing higher, it's understanding that soybean meal stays under pressure. But if you look at soybean meal, it really hasn't lost all that much ground. But the bottom line is we've got great demand for soybean meal. We've got good demand for soybeans, just from the crush sector. And as evidenced by Friday's quarterly stocks figure, the American producer, he's a large holder of soybeans. So, you look at basis levels in the interior, they're extremely strong. So, I think that pretty much explains, the story behind soybean oil, soybean meal, and soybeans. So moving into corn, the idea is, for the majority of the Midwest, the majority of the Corn Belt, we've got some pretty decent weather out there. I just know in the next week or so, we're going to see, what, another 2-3 weather systems move through. Now, you know, some folks want to talk about, you know, the excessive moisture in northwest Iowa, southeast South Dakota, and parts of Minnesota. And, you know, a lot of folks are saying, wow, this is just like 93. No, it's not. It's nowhere near what we saw in 93. In 93, I want to say we had 5 or 6 states impacted. And then, you know, the states that didn't see the big-time rains were impacted by the flooding of the river systems moving south. So, no, this is nowhere near it. Sure, river levels are up, but, you know, this is nowhere near the magnitude of 93. And in 93, the rally started in mid-June, and by mid-July, it was over. So I don't want to get caught up saying, you know, this is another 93, because it's not. Now, as I mentioned, I think the majority of the Corn Belt has some pretty decent weather going for itself. The quarterly stocks figure says record amounts of corn sitting in the American producer's hands. Where are you going to go with that? Taking that one step further, that says, you know, unless we see a rally between now and September, come September, we're going to see a wall of corn coming at us, both old crop, just to make way for the new crop that's, you know, soon to be harvested. So it's like this corn market, it's going to struggle. Personally, I think it's going nowhere fast unless we see an abrupt turnaround in the weather. And that means hot and dry, and it's going to have to start developing almost overnight. The wheat market was trying to make some lows here, but the last 2 days it stumbled rather badly. You look at, September Chicago wheat, and where are we? Well, you know, really all we've done is flag off the lows, meaning an up flag. Imagine a flagpole with, you know, a flagging to it, and that's usually a bearish picture. So we're not, right now, I want to say September Chicago beans were within 10 cents of making new lows versus what we saw last week. And I think Kansas City wheat is within 3-4 cents of making new lows beyond what we saw last week. And I think one of the stimulus for that was today, one of the Russian ag agencies, Sov Econ, came out and suggested that the Russian wheat crop is bigger than what we originally thought. They're saying it's, 84 million plus tons. I want to say 84.7 versus their previous estimate of 81.3. So the crop size is 3+ million tons greater. And, you know, right now, you know, it's the overseas markets that dictate the world export prices for wheat, not the U.S. And bottom line is, here in the U.S., we've got a pretty decent wheat crop. So the wheat market's going to struggle. It seems like any of these markets here, if we do see any rallying, it's going to be based on just, you know, speculative short covering for whatever the reason. But if you want to see a sustaining rally in either corn or beans, we're going to need to see an abrupt turnaround in the weather.
Tom Fritz, Market Analysis. Tom is with EFG Group in Chicago. Settlements now from Wednesday trade down a little in corn. September 405.5, 2.5 cents lower. And December 419.5, losing a penny and 3/4. August beans 11.57¾, up 7.5 cents. September almost 7 cents higher. November 8.5 better, 11.21¼. And September wheat down 7, going to 574. The meats mostly higher. August live cattle 185.92, up 82. And August lean hogs up a nickel at 89.82. I'm Andy Eubank with the Wednesday Market Review. This is Hoosier Ag Today, Indiana's leading farm network.